Take your Bibles. Go to John chapter 3. We're going to be getting back on Sunday night. We're going to be getting back to the spiritual warfare. I told you over a year ago, I wanted to go as far as I could regarding the subject of spiritual warfare on Sunday night. We went to 2 Peter 1. I was going to continue with my notes, but in comparing with what we got from Mike Schrock when he was here with the notes that I had, I thought, you know what? Let's leave it where it's at. That was a great time that we had with him. And so I'm setting this aside, but this is what I'm doing because we are so close to Resurrection Sunday. This is not a rehash of the message that I preached in December when I preached a message entitled "He Changed the World." Our focus is not from the birth of Christ on now. Our focus is mainly on what the Lord did in his adult life, but especially just prior to, during, and after the resurrection. So once again, tonight is "He Changed the World." Lord willing, next Sunday morning, "He Changed Your World." "He Changed My World." Then we change our world because of what he has done for us. And that is when we're, after that, that's when we begin with Brother Dwight Smith. What we're going to do, I know this is a very familiar passage, but we're going to read a good bit of John chapter 3. And then I want to present something that I pray is a challenge to us. It will get us to think, all right? John chapter 3, let's start with verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him," now what I would like for you to do, you ever hear somebody say, you know, "see it again for the first time, read it again for the first time, experience it again for the first time"? What I'd like for you to do is listen to this passage as much as possible with a fresh viewpoint. Let's continue. "Said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Two more verses. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us now. Lord, open your word to us. I pray in Christ's name, amen. I'd like for you, if you would please, take out your tablet, your iPad. If you're bad enough, take out an Android, piece of paper, do whatever you can. I'd like for you to write down several notes tonight, just the basic outline, but I really would like for you to write some things down. We are getting ready to celebrate again the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's always a special time. And in celebrating his birth, we've talked about this already, the vast majority of the world is lost on why we even celebrate. They have Christmas displays in China, in India. They don't know. They don't understand this. And there are people here in America, like the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they hate it. They want to do everything they can to shut it down. But the vast majority of people never get to the depth, and this is important, never get to the depth of it all. If you would please, keep your finger in John chapter 3 and go to Romans 15 if you would. There are two verses in Romans 15 that I really love. Two verses that I really love. Both of them deal with belief. Here, the Apostle Paul is getting ready to wrap up Romans, the book of Romans. Look at what he says, first of all, in verse 4. I've used these verses before. Verse 4, Romans 15, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our" what? Our learning. Our discipling. Our learning of him. Why? "That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have" what? Isn't it great to know that we can read what our brothers and sisters in Christ went through way back when, so that when we're here now, like the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that we can be comforted by the comfort that they were comforted with. And Paul identifies with that as he speaks. Now go to verse 13, Romans 15. "Now the God of hope," what hope? The hope that we read about in verse 4. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace" in what? Believing. Now that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Believing. "That ye may abound in that hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Roger is right. We really do choke on, you know, a testimony of what maybe God has done. And sometimes it's something that we don't understand a depth to, because we're not in a place where somebody comes to the service tonight and says, "Praise God, I got pulled over by the authorities, but they didn't check for a Bible in my car." You know, "Praise God, you wouldn't believe how the Lord let me through." What was that? I'm about to commit preacher suicide right now. I'm going to try and remember a true story that try to piece it together. But there was a situation where Christians really were under persecution. I cannot remember. I believe it was in Europe. But a young lady was on her way to a secret worship service, and she was stopped by two government officials on horseback. "Where are you going?" And she said this. It was some, in fact, I think it was in Ireland, because she was, they had her talking like this. My elder brother has died, and I'm going to his, and I'm going to, oh, let's see, my elder brother has died. And I'm going to his service, his, they're going to read his will, and I want to see what he's left me. Well, that was Jesus Christ. Yeah, and she was right. It was true. I botched that. Listen, but listen. Go back to John 3. Here's the thing we need to catch. To have a proper belief about God and his word, it brings the greatest comfort. What the Word of God tells us, and this is not part of my main outline, but I jotted these things down. First of all, you know how you stand before him. And the hope that we have, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not only do you know how you stand before him, you know your future. John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If we come to the Word of God and we rest in it, these are the things that we know. You know your abilities. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. You'll be my witnesses. You can rest in your calling. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. And then you can rest in your environment. The last words that Jesus spoke directly in the book of John, the last words that are recorded that he said to his disciples before he prayed, and then they came and arrested him. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. When it comes to the hope that we have, what we're looking at in celebrating, and I pray that we all believe, in 4 weeks, is the resurrection. There was a man that said this one time, the cradle and the cross, are of little value without the resurrection. But the cradle plus the cross plus the resurrection, that equals salvation. And he's right. Would you write this down? Number one, a choice in belief. A choice in belief. A choice in belief is what we first run into in John chapter 3. It's spoken by Nicodemus. I've said this before. Everybody has a belief. Everybody does. And this point, this first point, if we don't get this first point, I don't think that the rest will really understand. But when it comes to our belief, we just can't pop off and say, and I've talked to people, and maybe you have too before, well, I believe. And then as they're talking, they're putting their belief together. Belief is so very important. Belief is what you rest on, right? Amen? It's what you rest on. But one of these days, I got to get this thing fixed. Brilliant people can be so foolish in belief. Listen to this. I have cross-checked this quote. This man said this. A man by the name of George Wald, W-A-L-D. He's the co-Nobel Prize winner in biology and professor of biology at Harvard. Listen to what he said. There are only two possibilities as to how life arose. One is spontaneous generation arising to evolution. The other is a supernatural creative act of God. There is no third possibility. Spontaneous generation, that life arose from non-living matter, was scientifically disproved 120 years ago by Louis Pasteur and others. That leaves us with only one possible conclusion, that life arose as a creative act of God. I will not accept that philosophically. I will not accept that philosophically because I do not want to believe in God. Therefore, I choose to believe in that which I know is scientifically impossible. Spontaneous generation arising to evolution. He went on to say this: most modern biologists, having reviewed with satisfaction the downfall of the spontaneous generation hypothesis, yet unwilling to accept the alternative belief in special creation, are left with nothing. He died in 1997. He was born 1906. You can imagine the situation now. When it comes to belief, I think sometimes we don't recognize what we do as we start down a road. Can a man so smart actually be this foolish? Yes. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked to the point, who can know it? But now we've got to ask ourselves. We're looking at Nicodemus. We're looking at the Sanhedrin that he is with. And sometimes we don't catch this. But we need to meditate on and think of ourselves when it comes to this. Here was a man, Nicodemus. The Bible says that he came to Jesus by night. He was a Pharisee, a member of the Jewish ruling counselor. Some people said, well, he was a spy. Nicodemus was not a spy. He was taking a chance. He was coming at night, I believe, to help cover himself somewhat. But the fact of the matter is, his curiosity and what they had settled on drove him. So let's go back to verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, watch this. Who's the we? Huh? The Pharisees. Now, what did they come to believe? We know, not we're speculating, we know thou art a teacher come from God. Why can they say this? Because no man can do the things that you've done except God be with him. Now, again, this is important. There has been a choice in belief. Now, aren't these the same people that slew Christ later on? But they knew he was a teacher come from God. You come to Christ and you begin to form a belief. You come into a church. You start reading your Bible. You get into a Bible study. And you begin to read about Christ. You begin to hear him being preached. And you begin to believe just like they did. Question, does that mean that you're going to go all the way in what you ought to believe about him? No. And you're going to see why in just a minute. I saw this in this chapter and I thought, oh my soul. See, just like they did, we hear. But there's a challenge that comes. What kept them from embracing Christ was the fact that he did not come embracing their agenda. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, you read this, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, everybody, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Did not that fly in the face of the Pharisees, of the ruling class? They wanted power. They did not want to come to God in absolute surrender. Are we on the same page still? Okay, we're walking that direction. Jesus would not embrace their agenda. They knew he was a teacher come from God. But now all of a sudden, we have come to an impasse. We've come to a situation. Now, it's the same thing with anybody. We choose a belief. Jesus was a good man. Of course he was. You know, he's Savior. Amen. He died for me on the cross. Amen. Is he Lord of the life? Well, now, wait a minute. Just bear with me in this. I started reading the Bible through again yesterday morning. Here's Cain and Abel. Abel rested in the commands of God. He came with the sacrifice that God called for. Cain had his own agenda, his works. And every human being has come with his own agenda from that time on. That's why, again, you can ask somebody, you know, about their walk with God, about what they think about God, and they say, well, I believe. They don't say, well, the Bible says. It's no, well, I believe. I'm sorry, but, you know, what does God say? From the very beginning, we hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and continue in the gospel. But with that, we have a constant confrontation with the gospel and our flesh. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite quotes from him. I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else don't believe him at all. Believe the book, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is a poor faith at best. It is little better than dry land faith and is not good for much. Which brings us to the next part. Write this down, please. First of all, we had a choice and belief. Everybody makes a choice. That scientist made a choice. Nicodemus and his group, they made a choice, and it came so far. But this is what, and I saw this in John 3, this is what Christ will do. There is now a challenge in belief. Jesus is about to take Nicodemus farther by saying, you believe I'm from God? You think I'm from... Oh, listen, let me tell you something. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly. Again, you know this. When a Jew wanted to emphasize something, he would say it twice. It's the equivalent of us saying, listen, you need to hear me when I say this. That's what a Jew would do. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You think I'm come from God? I've got news for you. Except a man be born again. And what he has done is he has now taken him to a place where he's going. And that's exactly what he does with us. He takes us to a place where, quite honestly, we are in the role where we are either going to believe God or we're going to believe something that is very anti-God. That scientist, he said, I'm going to believe in something that's impossible. But the reason is, I don't want to believe in God. We might have a situation where we say, you know what? I want a Savior, but I don't want a Lord. Now, I don't know where you are on this. There might be somebody here, this is something that you've been wrestling with. But if we are going to make the impact that we ought to make in the time that we are here, we just don't need a Savior. We need a Lord. We need a Master. We need to live by his commands. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, help us. Christ responds with the truth to Nicodemus. You can't even begin to see the kingdom unless something takes place that is absolutely impossible as far as man is concerned. See, mankind has always believed that he could sacrifice or work his way to God. That is our default setting. The Bible says different. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 2 Corinthians 1:24, for by faith ye stand. Habakkuk 2:4, behold, his soul which is lift up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Paul says this three times, going back to Habakkuk. Finally, in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. So in other words, we come with our default setting, and he said no. And the thing is, we are coming in something that to us is not natural. You see, this is why I believe it's good to reach back to December and say, hey, let me tell you something. When it comes to the life of Christ, when it comes to the death, burial, and resurrection, he changed the world. Amen. He changed the world. He brought us to faith. He didn't bring us to what the majority, what all other religions are. He changed the world because we are now looking to the character of God, the Word of God, and the God of the Word, and saying, I trust you. Amen. In fact, I will call on you to do the impossible. With Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Yes. And with us, it's follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Hey, got a prayer request? Listen. If a mustard seed of faith, you pray and that mountain you can remove to the uttermost part of the sea. Wow. That's really something. But again, we need to ask ourselves. We've read it, and that's why I had us go through this. We read what Nicodemus, his response was. What? And we might say the same thing. There will be a challenge to our belief. We have to decide when it comes to, for instance, just the simple gospel. Do we really believe this? Which brings us to this. Point number three, write this down. A change in belief. Okay, there was a choice in belief. Everybody, you know, as we get to hearing the Word of God, we hear it from the pulpit, we hear it in the Sunday school, or there are people that they hear the gospel for the first time, you know what I mean, and they have a choice of belief when it comes to Christ. But the problem is, now they're challenged. Now they're challenged. God will always take you further than you are. You go from faith to faith. Amen? You go from faith to faith. A change in belief. Look at verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now he just hit us. I've told you something here. If you can't see that, if you can't see the earthly, the fleshly window that I'm giving here, the example. How are you going to believe it in the heavenly realm? You know, we're not here to operate on earthly things. We are here to operate on heavenly things. We're not here to do things as man says, well, now this is how you do it. or this is where your trust should be. It's heavenly things. Our Lord came to this earth. Listen to this. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's our God. Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. That's our Lord. John 9:39. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world. The reason why I'm giving you those verses right there are this, that we can see through them. Listen, our God is here as a major challenge. If this is what he is doing, I need to change my belief. Now, wait a minute. Not about thinking, okay, well, he's somebody other than the Son of God. No, I need to see him more as he is God come in the flesh, as the Son of God. He is Lord. He is Master. Henry Morris, some of you have read his works when it comes to things on creation. He said this, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. If the resurrection did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. If it did take place, then Christ is God and the Christian faith is absolute truth. I bring that along with what I have quoted here because we're coming up to the time where we're celebrating the resurrection to show that when it comes to the life of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, it is no small thing. He changed the world. You stop and think about people that took the gospel and went around the world with it. They were so passionate. These people, they had a view. Peter, James, Andrew, the disciples, they had a view of God. Then Jesus did what he did and said what he said. And so many of them, like Peter, came and fell before him and said, leave me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Think about what they saw. Now, if we can come face to face in the Word of God with the God of the Word and just simply make a choice in belief and not be challenged in our beliefs, do we really have a biblical belief? Did I just make sense there? In coming to this time of celebrating his death, burial, and resurrection, and the opportunity that we have, to me, seeing the record, reading the record, it's all we need to say, you know something? I need to get drop-dead passionate about this because I know people that need this. I need to be stretched. I love it. How many of you would really, here we go, raising hands. I'm not asking for a raise of hands. How many of you want to know God more? I was up in the middle of the night last night. I was really praying for my son-in-law. Oh, mercy. And you know how it is. You get to praying, and you get to this point. You just, Lord, I want to know you better. I got to. This time is too important. I want to see souls in these seats. If not under me, under somebody else, but the fact of the matter is they need to see it. I can look out, I can see several of you. There are relatives, there are people that we prayed for that are related to you. You want to see them saved. If not now, when? Remember that quote of Reagan? If not now, when? If not us, who? Now, God can choose. But this is the thing that I see. You know, we have a choice in belief. But God is going to come to us just like he did Nicodemus, and he's going to challenge that belief. That belief, by God's grace, ought to change. And then he brought a charge to believe, a charge to believe. And this is what this charge is about. He will reveal the reason for going further in belief. Look at verse 16. You know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What better reason to go farther and recognize, wow, that's who that is. Now again, I'm looking at Nicodemus. Christ has told Nicodemus, this is where you need to wind up. This is what I mean, you must be born again. And by the way, looking at Nicodemus, the record of Nicodemus and the rest of the book of John, he trusted in Christ. He did. He listened to him. But see, there's a charge to believe. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Ouch. Oh, my soul. We are walking in the midst of condemned people. There are some things, I will tell you right now, there are some things that I do not understand. I do not understand why the majority of mankind, it seems, do not come to Christ. Those that know him. I do not understand that. But I do know what the Bible says, and I'm going to trust my Bible, not my own reasonings. What God chooses to tell me in his word, I will stick with that. And I will leave the rest with him. Amen? Amen? That is where we have got to be. Lord, I don't understand eternity. We don't need to understand eternity. We just know this. We know that eternity is eternity. And Revelation chapter 20 is still there. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That ought to get us going. In these last few verses here, verses 16 through 19, and this is the condemnation, the light has come into the world, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And just those last few verses, this is what we see that we need to embrace. Without Christ, man will perish. Without Christ, we are condemned already. Without Christ, we walk in darkness. But with Christ, we have life. With Christ, we are saved from condemnation. With Christ, we have the light. That is what he wants us. Notice what we have here in John chapter 3. He takes him where he is, where he and the Sanhedrin have settled on him. You know, no man can do these things. No man can say these things except God be with him. And then Jesus turns around and gives him that challenge and stretches him. And right, you know, as far as there in chapter 3, we find him in his conundrum. It's like, you've got to be kidding. But we know, praise God, he came to a saving faith. That's where he wants to take us. Not just a saving faith, but beyond, where we are absolutely resting in him and trusting in him as the master, the ruler, the Lord of our lives. Think about this. When it comes to Christ, when it comes to the resurrection that we're going to be looking at, just stop and consider this quote. What happened as a result of the resurrection is unprecedented in human history. In the span of a few hundred years, a small band of seemingly insignificant believers succeeded in turning an entire empire upside down. As has been well said, they faced the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, and the fires of a thousand deaths, because they were utterly convinced that they, like their master, would one day rise from the grave in glorified, resurrected bodies. He changed the world. He changed it through his miracles, through his teaching, and ultimately through his death, burial, and resurrection. He changed the world. But the change came about because people who initially came face to face with him, they had a belief. And he took them farther. And he took them farther. And he kept challenging them, and he took them farther. Until they were at the point where they were saying, "My Lord and my God." And that's what we have in our Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray what your word says has found good soil. I pray that it was good soil that it found in me. Lord, I don't want to have an opinion of you, a comfortable belief. Lord, I want to have a complete faith. And I know that there are people in this building that want the very same thing. Lord, maybe it's going to take a time where we literally take our lives into our own hands, gathering together as a local body of believers. I don't know. But I do know this. You challenge us in our faith. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to challenge. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to search the Scriptures to see whether these things are so. Lord, understanding that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, may we get into this Word. May our belief in you be challenged and stretched and grow and anchored even more in 2019 with all that we have coming, with the Dwight Smith meetings, with the need, the absolute need for the prayer and fasting to see you work in people's lives. Lord, if we're not willing to sacrifice even a little, why are we here? Your will be done. Lord, I love these people. Thank you for these people. Lord, I pray that you would use these people, use us all for your glory in this time. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.